The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur in real time.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a Friday edition of Full Press Radio Live, Full Press Coverage Radio Live, that is. And that's right, we're here to break down, of course, Thursday Night Football last night, and of course, break down the slate of games we have coming up week five. We got some good ones. Maybe not as important as the Brady return that we had last week, but we have a few pretty key matchups. And the guy here to help me break it all down, as he is every day that we decide to be on the air during the week, Mr. John Sapicetti. John, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing fine, Ian. How are you?
Oh, I'm just swell. I got plenty of coffee. It's Friday. It's almost the weekend, and we got a bunch of great games coming up. Plus, I was right about Thursday Night Football, by the way.
Me too. Yeah, we both.
Yeah,
had
we
the,
were actually. Ram.
Yeah, doesn't happen often, but you know, like a broken clock, it's right twice a day. We were both right last night.
Well, specifically, I just felt. I predicted Russell Wilson was going to throw his first interception of the season, and he did, and he actually didn't even finish the game because of a pretty nasty-looking dislocated finger or whatever. We saw a pretty nice close-up of it on on camera when it happened. Your finger's not supposed to bend that way, so and on his throwing hand, that's certainly something that's cause for concern, especially if it's something that lingers, because this team... Look, this Seattle team's not good. I completely whiffed on what I thought this team was going to be. I didn't think that they certainly were going to be an elite defense like they were in years past, but I thought this team was going to be good enough, and I thought maybe starting the season they may have been the best team in that division. They look like the worst, and by a wide margin. I mean, that defense is atrocious. And I know Geno Smith turned back the clock a little bit last night, but if the Seahawks have to turn to Geno Smith for any length of time, if Russell Wilson misses any time, this team's done, and they don't even have a first-round pick to show for it. So, you know, what do you do if you're the Seahawks? You get a nice reminder of not having that first-round pick every time you see Jamal Adams completely whiff on a tackle. I don't know what the Seahawks are going to do, but last night was not a good night for them. 1-4.
You looked at two teams last night, Ian, that are very ready, willing, and able to give up first-round picks for talent that you know is elite right now. Now, I would trade two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. That is an elite corner, perhaps the best corner in football. I would do it 7 days a week. We see what he did last night. He even tipped the ball that led to the interception. He's a dynamite player. You look at Jamal Adams, who's a nice player, but... You know, this isn't 1987.
He's an undersized defensive end. You know?
Exactly. He's kind of he's a nice piece on the chessboard, but he can't lock down wide receivers. I don't even think he can cover tight ends. He's more of an inside the box type of guy. Again, nice player, but Jamal Adams is a good player, and they gave up two first round picks for him.
Yeah.
The Rams gave up two first round picks for Jalen Ramsey. I mean, and meanwhile, San Francisco is giving up first-round picks to move up to get Trey Lance. Maybe the Arizona Cardinals just sit tight and end up becoming the best team in that division over the next few years because the other three teams don't have any first-round picks left.
Well, you go back to that trade Seattle made, this isn't revisionist history. This was, I think, a lot of people were puzzled at how much they actually paid the Jets for this guy, but I'm contrasting it, let's just say, with the New England Patriots. Let's do that because we talk about the Patriots a lot. We know the team very well. Bill Belichick gets a lot of criticism. I think undeservedly so. I think he gets far more than I think people are very eager to criticize. So, you know, that's kind of the motivation behind the conversations. But look at what Seattle has done since they've gone to the Super Bowl. And if there's anyone or any team that deserves to be questioned consistently, it's Seattle. What have they done since, and we've talked about this before, Pete Carroll's advantage of coming straight out of college and having that foresight, that insight into some of the players, the Richard Shermans of the world, the Cam Chancellors, the, you know, the Brandon Browners, all these guys that they built this championship defense around were all guys that Pete Carroll knew pretty well. Well, guess what? Pete Carroll's been out of the college game for quite some time. He's just like any other NFL coach. Mm-hmm. And I look at a team that doesn't pay the O-line, gives everything to Russell Wilson, has poor drafting. I mean, look at their first-round pick. You want to talk about a team that blows first-round picks. I mean, outside of what, Bruce Irving? Have they hit on a first-round pick? What was it a few years back? Rashad Penny? They took with the 31st or 32nd overall pick. You know what I mean? So this team has a long list of failed first-round picks. We're not talking second, third, fourth round, fifth round, you know, the slack that Belichick gets when he takes a flyer on a fifth-round safety and people criticize him when it goes wrong. Well, if it's a fifth-round player, you're pretty much in a crapshoot at this point. Seattle is doing this with their first-round picks, and now they don't even have any because they shelled out a bunch of money and capital to get Jamal Adams, who looks like a guy who just isn't, you know, certainly anywhere close to that type of number. And, you know, if you're going to give up that type of money to a guy, to your point, you want him to be a game changer on defense. You know what I mean? You don't want him to be just a guy. You want him to be a game changer. And Jamal Adams is not. Jalen Ramsey, I think, far closer to that, although, to the Rams' credit, they do have a guy named Aaron Donald, who is a pretty big game changer. But the point is, like, you pay that much to bring in Jamal Adams, you expect him to change your defense. He hasn't done that. If anything, he's made it worse in areas.
Yeah, no, great point, Ian, because, you know, you look at the Seattle Seahawks, and that Super Bowl 49 with the Patriots, to me, is the greatest Super Bowl ever. Because it was so much at stake, right? You know, the Patriots hadn't won a Super Bowl in 9 years. They looked like they were ready to lose yet another one. They'd only scored 14 points going in the fourth quarter. Just think of, and again, this is the greatness of Tom Brady, drives him down the field twice against that ridiculously talented defense to win the game. But if that doesn't happen, then the Patriots would be on a 3 Super Bowl game losing streak over a decade, and now they're, you know, basically John Elway in the Denver Broncos, who were 2-3 in 5 Super Bowls. Seattle would have won back-to-back Super Bowls. They look like an all-time great defense, and the Patriots were able to win that game. And since, they won 2 more Super Bowls, and Brady's won 3 more Super Bowls. And you realize that Seattle, since that game, has not returned to the NFC Championship game. They've made the playoffs pretty much every year but one. They've had winning records. They've been, you know, a relevant team, and Russell Wilson has been an excellent quarterback. But they have not returned to the NFC Championship game since 2014. My guy, Aaron Rodgers, gets criticized, and rightfully so, for losing 3 NFC Championship games since. But at least he got to the game,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, and won an MVP since 2014, won an MVP in 2014. So, yeah, it seems like Seattle gets cut a lot of slack because Pete Carroll seems to be a likable guy. I think he's very open with the media. And Russell Wilson, who I think is a phony, but is, you know, go Hawks as he leaves the press conferences. And people just generally like Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. You know, Belichick is a curmudgeon, so people get turned off by that. And also Seattle, which is kind of like a cool city. You know, it's kind of, it's up in the Northwest. They get great coffee and great music, and everybody kind of likes Seattle. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they botched a lot of really good chances over the last decade to win more titles and be even more of a contender. And now they've got no first-round picks, and they've got Jamal Adams, who, again, is a very nice player, but, you know, he's not Jalen Ramsey. He's not Khalil Mack, who the Bears gave up 2 first-round picks for, and certainly no one's Aaron Donald on the defensive side of the ball. Man, that guy's a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
He keeps hurting quarterbacks. He's the guy who was, you know, somewhat responsible for Russell Wilson's injury last night. Remember a couple of years ago, he did the same thing to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
All clean plays. I'm not saying the guy's a dirty player, anything but that, but he's just always in the quarterback's face, so thus he's going to be the most likely guy to hurt the quarterback, even on a clean play.
Well, and look, I mean, the best part about Seattle is Russell Wilson, but you know, I when you say he's a phony, you know, this is like what's his face calling Jerry a phony, right? You know, you're phony. Oh, you're so phony. No, I you see it in some of the stuff that he does, that Mr. Unlimited video that he, last summer or whatever, where it's just really odd, you know, kind of he's an odd guy, which is fine. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own personality, and thank God for that, because if everyone was the same, it would be really boring around here. But there's something that I just can't quite put my finger on. I feel like something is missing with Russell Wilson. Okay, so he starts his career. He comes out of, you know, relatively nowhere. You know, Matt Flynn was supposed to be a starter in Seattle. Russell Wilson has a great training camp. He comes in and just performs well. Obviously, that defense was you know, one of the best of the these more recent generations. Mm-hmm. You know, he comes in, performs well, wins a Super Bowl. I mean, again, you if you want to go back and sit there and say, well, look, Seattle won that Super Bowl the moment that ball went over Peyton Manning's head. That game was over. I mean, it was. Mm-hmm. It, like, if you remember that game, there was nothing about that game that was competitive. The second that happens, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, Russell Wilson's the guy. He's winning all these games. I love the, and we saw it recently because he made another milestone, and I think this is so funny that people, not that they celebrate it because it's certainly worth celebrating, but you know how he recently broke the record for most wins in his like first like 10 seasons or whatever, mm-hmm. surpassing Brady, and everyone's like, oh, wow, look at Russell Wilson. Well, the funny thing about that is, John, within that number, they include Brady's rookie season in 2008, which he started one game. Right. So he barely beats him. But, you know, the reality of it is Brady accomplished what Russell Wilson has in like 18 or 19 games fewer. So
even okay. more than that, Ian, it was two full seasons, right? It was like Brady accomplished that in 8 years.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson's accomplishing it in 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's always been weird with quarterbacks. Guys don't play right away, you know, so.
Yeah. But for him and look, I mean, I'm not saying he's.
That's an accomplishment.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And like he has this incredible, like when he hits that deep ball to Tyler Lockett, it's beautiful. It's all these things that look so great and all that. But Like I said, he's always just, I don't know if he's a guy that can necessarily carry you. And to your point, since they lost that Super Bowl, and it's been the Russell Wilson show, they haven't been close to being back.
No.
Like, and to your point, you know, Green Bay's had some lesser teams. They've at least been back to the championship game. Obviously, the Patriots and Brady, it doesn't matter what kind of team they have. They just, it was the Patriots Invitational when it got to the AFC Championship game. And meanwhile, Russell Wilson, everyone's, oh man, poor guy, never gets an MVP vote. Well, there's a reason for that. Like, it's not like this grand conspiracy to, you know, go against Russell Wilson. No, I mean, at a certain point, you have to look at the guy and be like, all right, well, can he carry a team? I mean, it's kind of a rhetorical question in a way, but actually I kind of want an answer, and I think we actually already have our answer, and right now I would say no, because based on everything we know from 2012 until now, you know, it's a pretty good sample size. He's a really good quarterback,
yep.
But I have not seen him do it when he had to do it, when he was the guy, when he is Mr. Seattle Seahawk, because for that Super Bowl win, he wasn't the guy. He was great. But that was not a Seattle offensive win. That was, you have one of the best defenses of this generation. Not just a really good defense that season. We're talking one of the best of the last 20 to 25 years. And you won a Super Bowl. But since then, nada.
Yeah, you haven't even been back to an NFC Championship game. Again, I guess there's different levels to this. I would say Wilson is somewhat similar to Drew Brees. Like, we could put them maybe on the same plateau. And Brees obviously just ran up such incredible numbers because mm-hmm. he played for a long time, played in a dome, played for Sean Payton. And maybe if Russell Wilson plays 7 or 8 more years, he's going to climb up the all-time, you know, lists of yards and touchdowns and all that fun stuff. I would put them pretty similar, below Rodgers, who's below Brady, right? Mm-hmm. So there's, like, different rungs of quarterbacks, right? Like, at least Rodgers has gotten to the NFC. Is that a word, gotten? I use it, right?
Are we talking in, like, rings like a Tropicana field? Like, rings and rungs of quarterbacks?
Oh, what an embarrassment. What an embarrassment, your hometown ballpark.
Hometown?
You probably
I don't even live in there. Well, technically they do play like 10 minutes down the street from me.
Right.
So
I mean, it's a little closer than where I am in Winthrop, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably as close to Tropicana Field as I am to Fenway Park. But like in terms of like that field, what an embarrassment.
Yeah,
what a dynamite baseball team that is, right?
Oh,
that's
they're
a fun team to watch.
They're awesome. Phenomenal. They're phenomenal. And I feel like this.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
not to knock your area, but they don't deserve that team. I mean, they should, again, they need a new ballpark and
it's tough. And I
all about that stuff. Yeah.
I'll just mention this real quick. I think the biggest obstacle, and anyone who lives in this area will kind of attest to it, that having the ballpark on this side of the bridge, because if you know the geography of the area, Tampa, there's the bay, and then you have to cross over to get to St. Pete, which is where, you know, Tropicana Field is. That really limits the access to a lot of people east of Tampa. Now, I know it doesn't sound crazy, but, you know, to go to Tampa as opposed to going beyond that to Tropicana, you're adding, it could be a significant amount of time, especially given the time that games usually are, because you're going to hit traffic. So, you know, I think even moving the stadium to the Tampa, direct Tampa area, I think would be better for them in terms of attendance and everything like that. But that's a discussion for another day, because we could talk about that. I just, you said wrong, and it triggered my my memory from last night.
Oh my God. Yeah, I've seen balls hit ladders and rings, and, you know, I was just like, what the hell's going on? I felt like I was watching a stickball game, where, like, you know, over the tree is a triple, over the second tree is a home run.
Wiffle ball, it's like, if you hit that tree, that's a home run. It's like, okay, that's the boundary there. If you hit it up this high, that's all. It's like, Jesus, all right, come on now.
If you hit it into the old Italian lady's garden, it's three outs.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go retrieve the ball, and she may, you know, sick her dog on us. But, I mean, Brady, how many times have we said this? We both agree. Maybe it's boring, but, you know, Brady's a guy. He's in a class by himself. Of the current quarterbacks, I think it's Brady in terms of careers. And then there's Rodgers. And then we could start to talk about Wilson and Breeze. I know retired and all that stuff. So Wilson, and again, I think somewhat physically limited because of their size. Now, you don't have to be 6'5 to be a great quarterback. You can be 6'2. You know, Breeze was, 5'11? I think Russell Wilson's 5'11. Damn great quarterbacks, but there's some physical limitations there. That just seems to be, he just seems so earnest, doesn't he, as a person? Like, that's the thing. And look, I think he's a phony. I think Aaron Rodgers is real. Like, he's just an a-hole, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. He's kind of comfortable with that, right? He's like, hey, this is who I am, you know, like me or leave me. Whereas Russell Wilson is so, like, image conscious, which is fine. He seems like a good guy. He does a lot of charity work. I know that. But he does seem somewhat phony. But nonetheless, now he's really going to have to carry this team, because that defense is putrid. You're right. I mean, the Rams should have scored 38 points last night.
Yeah, they
went up and down the field. At no resistance from Seattle.
Well, and look, we've seen some poor starts from Seattle defensively before. I mean, certainly on a historical level. I mean, right now they're on pace to have the very worst pass defense of all time. It's absurd, like I said, how bad they are. And again, I don't know, like, in the past we've seen some bad, again, we keep going back to the Patriots because we both know it very intimately. That team, they've had some horrible defenses before. That 2011 defense was bad. I mean, people want to go back and, you know, focus on points per game. Well, the reality of it was that was a team that could not stop anything consistently, and they were just they just happened to be good in the red zone, which, you know, look, we know red zone defense is a little bit easier than everything else because your surface area shrinks, which makes it easier for the defense to keep everything in front of you, all that stuff. So a team that's horrible at giving up a bunch of yards but pretty good in the red zone, it's not a great defense. It's just one that takes advantage of certain opportunities. Well, Seattle, I mean, again, this is the same thing. It's Seattle. It's the same type of defense. They have poor ability to get off the field when they need to. I mean, there's no way to quantify it, but there's certain times you just need to get off the field, and Seattle can't do that. And New England at times, you know, during that run early 2010s, they couldn't do that either. They weren't a good defense. And Seattle's the same way. My point is, Seattle doesn't have, again, this is the difference between a guy like Brady and Russell Wilson, who, you know, maybe a casual fan will sit there and say, oh, there's not much difference. Well, there is, because I would still pick the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know if the Seattle team even sniffs the playoffs. I mean, at this point, they're 1-4. Like, even with the extra game, I mean, in this division, I mean, I would have to go back and look at their schedule. Have they played two division games so far? They may lose all four of them.
Yeah, they beat San Francisco. They're 2-3 right now, but again, they beat San Francisco.
Oh, 2-3, yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. and they
still, that's
they
not good.
Beat Indianapolis, but that, no, that's not good. They look like the worst team in that division because their defense is wrecked.
Well,
if you have
also,
a bad pass defense, is that the division to be in with a bad defense when you
well,
face
and not
Kyler
to,
Murray and
not to mention and, two teams in that division are, one is 4-0, the other is 4-1.
Right,
so.
and they both look like they're going to continue. I don't think Arizona's going 17-0, but I mean, they're going to be in contention. My favorite stat with Brady and Rodgers is back in 2011. The Packers had the 32nd ranked defense, went 15-1. The Patriots had the 31st ranked defense. They went 13-3.
Yep.
That's a testament to how great those two quarterbacks are. And I don't think Russell Wilson could take the 31st or 32nd ranked defense and go 13-3 or 15-1, or in this case this year, 13-4 or whatever. That's Peyton Manning could do it, Tom Brady could do it, Aaron Rodgers could do it, and Patrick Mahomes can do it. Those are probably the only four quarterbacks that we've seen in the last 20, 25 years that have the ability to do that, right? I can't think of even a fifth quarterback that would be good enough to get those teams over the top.
And yeah, I mean,
again, Russell Wilson's dynamite, but he's not those guys.
Yeah, and look, I wouldn't even put Drew Brees in that list.
No, I wouldn't either. No, because he had that, and he went 7-9.
Yeah,
right. I mean, he had three straight 7-9 seasons. He's in a different case again, playing in a dome. Great offensive mind. You know, I'm watching the Rams last night, Ian, and I know I'm a big Sean McVay fan. I think as far as diagramming offensive plays, he's elite, right?
Mm-hmm.
They diagram so many plays where their wide receivers are wide open. Now, maybe that's just me watching Seattle.
Yeah,
go, they're that bad.
Go at Jamal Adams. Your receivers
right,
will
yeah,
be
but,
wide open.
But
that's
I,
the
I was
scheme.
Looking at it going, because Stafford missed a lot of throws last night.
Yeah.
I'm like, could you picture Brady and Rodgers with this offense against that defense?
Oh, good God.
Had any,
45, 50 points, yeah.
Yeah, well, they'd go like 32 of 35 for 4-10 and 4 touchdowns. Like, you know.
And look, and I'm glad you actually kind of brought that up because that kind of, you know, bring, so, you know, we're wondering heading into the season, okay, what is Matt Stafford going to be this year? You know, I no doubt about it, going from a better organization. I mean, when you move on from the Detroit Lions, you're essentially going to a better organization, unless you go to the Jets. So, or the
go
Jaguars.
Back, go
yeah.
back to college and
yeah,
play
yeah,
for Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. So there's very few ways to move down when you leave the Lions, but I think we're learning, maybe not so much in a good way. I'm trying to word this correctly. Like, I think everyone anticipated, oh, Matt Stafford's finally going to show up and show out, you know, more so than he has ever done before. And he's had some, I mean, incredible seasons. So let's not sell the guy short. I don't know if he's any different than what he was with the Lions. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, I think, you know, again, we've talked about this before. He at his peak can look phenomenal, like unstoppable. But he just has enough of those kind of boneheaded just moments of uncertainty and then little stretches of poor play that just have not been able to leave his game. And again, we go back to talking about we have enough evidence to support that. Yeah, well, we have enough. You know, the guy's 33 years old. He's played enough football in his life for us to sit there and say, yeah, I think this is who he is. So, you know, on any given Sunday, Matt Stafford could be the best quarterback in the league and show it. But he could also be very, very mediocre.
Right.
And I think that could ultimately hurt this Rams team because very mediocre for Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and guys like that is a lot better than very mediocre for Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, if the Rams and the Bucks happen to meet again, I mean, regardless of any other situation leading up to it, right now I'm telling you I'm giving the Bucks the advantage because, you know, just the nature of playing a team second and twice for Brady, but I think it's a gamble betting on Matt Stafford to always be that guy. Yeah, he threw some nice, you know, 365 yards last night, but like you said, there was so much left on the table, and you can't do that, especially against a team that was as bad as Seattle is defensively. Like, you expect that team to, I mean, in hindsight, I wish I would have picked the Rams. I mean, I would have been wrong, but I wish I would have picked the Rams to put up over 40 because that's how little I believe in that Seattle defense.
Yeah, I mean, there were plays out there last night, Ian, where I thought Seattle had 10 defenders on the field.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought maybe Steve Belichick was the defensive coordinator. So, you know, it just didn't seem like they were all together out there. And They're not talented defensively. They have like two well-known defenders, right? Like Wagner is a really good player, but again, he's now been in the league a decade, and guys that play close to the line of scrimmage don't last that long. I mean, it's just not physically possible. And then you got Jamal Adams, who plays close to the line of scrimmage, and obviously, you know, we both think is incredibly overrated. It's a speed game, you know, and there're not a lot of 210-pound guys that can't cover that are going to be effective players.
Let me ask you this. How good do you think Pete Carroll really is? I mean, we have enough, you know, obviously, you know, his time spent with the Patriots, we know that. But I mean, how good is Pete Carroll? I mean, for a long time, people just, oh, he's second best coach in the league behind Belichick.
Right.
Is he? I mean, I don't think, certainly not the second best, because I, you know, you talk about guys like Andy Reid and others, but.
Sean Payton would be in that discussion,
yeah, Sean,
right?
Sean Payton, certainly.
I've also seen Sean Payton in big games totally mismanage the team. You know, I mean, go back to the NFC Championship game 3 years ago. I'm not sure what the hell he was doing down the stretch. I do like John Harbaugh as a coach because I kind of like the idea that he has, you know, a strong offensive coordinator, a strong defense coordinator. Yeah. He's kind of the CEO head coach. I kind of like that feel to it where, you know, Belichick obviously is involved in everything. He's obviously the best coach in the NFL. I mean, maybe he's lost a little on his fastball and he doesn't have his quarterback, but, you know, we still trust that he's going to do most of the right things. Yeah, Pete Carroll, I thought Pete Carroll was maybe better suited for college because I think he's a great recruiter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a talk about energy, man. The guy is 70 years old. He's the oldest coach in the league, and he's pacing up and down the sideline. I don't know what the hell. He's the Tom Brady of coaches in terms of, you know, at 70, still like with it and out there. But yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of an emotional rah-rah guy, tries to get the troops together. I mean, I think he's more of a motivator. I think he's a good defensive mind, but really, what have we seen from him in the last several years defensively? I mean, that's, you know, yeah. I'm sure he's got a lot of input in that defense, and it's not working. So, yeah, I think he gets slightly overrated. He'll probably go to the Hall of Fame, right, because is he really any worse of a coach than Bill Cowher? I kind of compare him a little to Bill Cowher, and Bill Cowher's in the Hall of Fame. I never thought of Bill Cowher as a mastermind of X's and O's, and I don't think Pete Carroll is overall. But, you know, somehow you win a Super Bowl, you coach for 15 years, you get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I question how good a coach this guy is because he seems to be more of a motivator than anything.
And look, I mean, he's had his hand in building this team. So, you know, he certainly should share a lion's share of that blame in terms of, like, where they are now. I mean, this isn't the first year that they've had roster construction problems. You know, this isn't just a one-off thing. I mean, for years it was like, okay, they had a really good offensive line in Russell Wilson. Okay, well, they always find these guys, you know, they go in, they bring in Josh Gordon, they bring in this, they bring in that, they make this trade, but I really haven't, you know, I don't remember the last time that they really made a great move that set them up because, well, guess what? They haven't been anywhere outside of, like, you know, a couple highlight plays and some big moments early in the season. So, all right, we're going to move on here because we do want to get through our week five NFL picks because, you know, again, there are a lot of really good games, including perhaps the one that I'm looking forward to the most, and that's Buffalo and Kansas City, a rematch of last year's playoff game. So that on Sunday Night Football, I think, you know, this might be, we've seen already this season a few instances where teams sort of got over the hump. You know, we saw Green Bay beat San Francisco. We've seen, you know, well, that one in particular is one that I'm pointing at because we might see that with Buffalo this week. And we'll get to that. I don't want to jump ahead too far because that is Sunday Night Football and we have a whole bunch of games to get to, including John, one in London. And you know what? I think a majority of NFL fans wouldn't mind if both these teams stayed over in London when the game was over. Atlanta is hosting the New York Jets. Since we had to pick a winner, I'm going to go with Atlanta on this one. Maybe just the change of continent might do Atlanta well. But give me the Atlanta Falcons beating the New York Jets in this one.
Yeah, I'll go with Atlanta as well. I'll take the veteran quarterback over the rookie quarterback, and maybe the Jets, by winning last week, are going to be somewhat flat this week. So, yeah, I'll go with Atlanta. I always have a soft spot for Atlanta. I look at some of the talent and say they should contend for a playoff, you know, spot. And they're also a team that's always in these crazy games. Like, it used to be Philip Rivers and the Chargers were always in crazy games that would come down to the end and they'd lose. Well, now it seems like the Atlanta Falcons are involved in crazy games that come to the end and they lose. So
talk about a very
win this game.
Yeah, talk about a great comparison. I mean, the Falcons are essentially the NFC counterpart to the Chargers. The only difference is the Falcons got to one Super Bowl. Yeah, well, right. I if you want to really go back, we can go back to the late 90s. But I'm talking about, you know, essentially in the time frame that Matt Ryan and Philip Rivers were in the league. They were kind of really the same thing. Elite offenses, questionable defenses. Yeah, so hopefully we'll both be right because I always love seeing the Jets lose. Kyle Senra seems to think that the Jets will win. I don't know about that one. Next, Green Bay at Cincinnati. I think this is actually going to be far more interesting game. Then I think maybe looking into it, I think Cincinnati is quietly putting some things together, which you know, I'm not going to sit there and say they're going to win the division, but, you know, maybe they make some noise, and maybe this is a game that they kind of get themselves on the map a little bit. But I do have Green Bay winning this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game because, again, you got the contrast of the great old quarterback against the great young quarterback. I love Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. He just has so many great qualities that we – like in those elite quarterbacks. Jamar Chase is a dude out on the outside. No Jair Alexander. That's a problem for the Packers because you can throw the ball on them, except
guarantee you Jamar Chase is getting a touchdown.
Yeah, I bet that. If there's any prop out there that Jamar Chase is getting a touchdown on Sunday, go ahead and bet it. The Bengals and Packers, it's a weird thing. They only meet every 4 years. The games are always entertaining, though. Like 4 years ago, Green Bay scored late to force overtime and won a game in overtime. 4 years before that, they had a 30-14 lead, the Packers did, and the Bengals came back and won. They always play these kind of crazy games. I expect the same thing on Sunday, but I think they'll find a way to win because they do have the quarterback and they do have the field goal kicker. I mean, if this comes down to, you know, game-winning field goals, Mason Crosby's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and like I said, I think this isn't quite the time for the Bengals, I think, to win a game like this, but this could go a long way in them building what they want to build. And, you know, these are the type of games you like to win as a team that's growing, is against the elite teams, the elite quarterbacks, and everything like that. Speaking of elite, this next matchup is not. Detroit at Minnesota, combined one win between the two teams. I actually think Detroit finally gets their first win of the season. I do think Detroit's had some really just unfortunate circumstances to get to this 0-4 record. Obviously, you know, just go look at the 66-yard field goal. Minnesota, I just don't think is that good. I this was the one year that I finally stopped picking them to do anything because every year they would just always, I would kick myself because I'm like, what? This is the same Minnesota Vikings that is here every single season. Why am I picking them again? Same thing this year. I do think Detroit comes in on the road and surprises them. So give me Detroit in this one.
I'll give Detroit credit because they've been playing hard for Dan Campbell. I mean, he is a motivator. He's an intimidating guy. I would think if you looked at all the NFL head coaches, he's probably the most intimidating of them in terms of just sheer, you know, size. I Mike Vrabel would be there too. Just big, like, guys who look like they could still play. I think Detroit's going to keep it close. They'll find a way to screw up, but I think Minnesota ekes out some sort of win here. But yeah, you're right about Minnesota. Every year you look and go, wow, they have a great roster. They got this great defense. They got all these toys on offense, and they go at best 9-7, you know, other than the 1 year with Case Keenum when they made it to the NFC Championship game. So I'm going to differ with you on the outcome. I think Minnesota is going to find a way to win, but if you were able to grab 10 points in Detroit, I would do that.
Next, we have Denver at Pittsburgh. This was difficult because I think originally I was just like, oh, yeah, Pittsburgh's going to lose this game. I think they somehow find a way to win this one. I think Denver's a better team. I still think Ben Roethlisberger is really just, I mean, I think he's done. He's cooked. But somehow, some way, I think Pittsburgh ekes out a win at home in this game. I still haven't figured out how because I do think Denver you know, maybe without Teddy Bridgewater might, you know, struggle a little bit early on. And I think that might be the opportunity Pittsburgh needs. And maybe they'll pick up a couple points here and there. But give me Pittsburgh at this one, in this one at home.
If there's ever been a game this year where I want to predict a tie, it might be this one, right? The Steelers and Broncos. Because I don't know how many points are going to be scored. Like, bet the under in this game. obviously we both agree that Ben Roethlisberger looks cooked, and Bridgewater suffered a concussion last week. So if Drew Locke is in there, their offense doesn't move. I'll go with the Steelers at home. They're still a proud franchise, and I think that their defense is still good. Their defense is still good, so that may be the best unit on the field on Sunday, so I'll pick the Steelers.
Yeah, and that's really what's putting me towards the Steelers, is eventually that defense is just going to win a game, and I think this is a game that they can do that. So next we have Tampa hosting the Miami Dolphins. I think this is easy. I think Tampa's going to roll them. Without Tua, not that I think that that's a big loss for Miami. I just don't think the Dolphins right now are that good of a team. I think maybe we overvalued them a little bit, overestimated their abilities. You know, maybe. I just don't think. Look, honestly, I think the Bucs are going to just have a pretty nice cakewalk. This is the start of a pretty nice stretch for the Buccaneers, where they don't really play that many good teams in a row or that many good quarterbacks. So this is what they would call stat padding time for the Buccaneers. So give me the Bucs at home in this one.
Yeah, this should be easy. And for the fifth week in a row this season, the Miami Dolphins selected Tua instead of Justin Herbert with the fifth pick in the 2020 NFL draft.
They made a mistake 15 years ago taking Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees. And look, I'm not, I've certainly given Drew Brees his lumps, but I don't think any of us will sit there and say the Dolphins were better off with Dante Culpepper versus, Drew Brees. And to Justin Herbert's credit, he is, let's see, touchdown passes. He's three away from tying Tony Romo for having the fourth most to his first 50, or was it 15, the first 20 career starts. So
20 career starts, right, because he started 15 games last year.
Right. So Romo would, right now has 43. Justin Herbert has 40 and 19. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes was 60. Kurt Warner, 51. Dan Marino, 47. So pretty nice company there for your guy, Justin Herbert.
I just love to watch him. I think if he gets those intangibles, which I think he will, because he's incredibly bright, hardworking. He seems like a guy that really ingratiates himself with his teammates, which I think is one of the most underrated qualities of a quarterback, right? You've got to have the room supporting you, right?
Yep.
That's where Brady just like blows everybody away. Like I've not heard one bad thing about the guy in 20 years from any teammate. Now Rodgers, I think, ingratiates himself with a lot of his teammates, not all.
Yeah.
Like Peyton Manning, I think, had a couple that he did ingratiate himself with. With Brady, it's like they just love him.
Yeah, so I mean, people would put their firstborn child on the ground for him to walk on, so he wouldn't get his feet wet if he asked. I mean, look at James Harrison.
I would. You would definitely do that. You don't even have a child. You would have one of your cats.
Yeah, that might be where I draw the line. Well, look. I mean, we bring up. I actually had a chance to ask Reggie Wayne this last week, but we asked the question, or not we, but the question was always asked of James Harrison, like, hey, would your impressions of coming over and spending that brief time with the Patriots? And look, he came in with every reason in the world to hate the guy. Like we saw that AFC Championship game between the two teams where Brady just went at Anthony Nelson the safety. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Was it Anthony Smith?
Yes. Thank you, Anthony
was that
Smith.
Him? Yeah.
And there was one play in particular where he, threw a touchdown and Tom's kind of, amped up, backing up, backwards or whatever. And I remember seeing James Harrison come over and just give him one of those drop stiff shoulders, and they got in each other's face. So James Harrison had every reason in the world to believe to hate this guy. And in about 5 minutes, he was like starstruck, and you're talking about one of the best defensive players of an era. Yeah. And we commented about this the other day with Jalen Ramsey. Like, you're talking about one of the currently best defensive players in the league being starstruck, going up and just, in awe of Tom Brady. And it's like that's the impact he has. But OK, I'm going to nip that in the butt because we could go on and on. And we do have a little restrictive time here. So next, New Orleans at Washington. Washington their defense has not been as good as I thought they were going to be, but I do think at home, I think they're going to win this game because New Orleans is just really, I think they they go as Jameis Winston goes, and at any given point, you know, Jameis could be good for a few turnovers, and I don't know. I feel like this might be one of those games, so give me Washington.
I'm going to go to New Orleans. They're the bipolar team in the NFL, right? It seems like they win odd-numbered weeks and lose even-numbered weeks, so it's week five. That's an odd number. I have the Saints winning outright against the Washington football team.
Carolina hosting Philadelphia. Now, they won't be without Stephon. They won't have Stephon Gilmore, newly acquired cornerback from the New England Patriots, but they could have Christian McCaffrey. Either way, this is a team that is really starting to make some noise and certainly one that I think no one expected to be as good. Sam Darnold's playing well. You add Stephon Gilmore to this already really good defense. Don't forget that they, you know, they just traded for C.J. Anderson just 2 weeks ago. This Carolina team's really good, and I think against Philadelphia, I think this is a pretty easy win for them.
Yeah, they should win. Philadelphia's offense isn't bad. Their defense is wretched. So, yeah, I think Carolina names the score.
Next, we have Tennessee at Jacksonville. As bad as Tennessee is playing right now, good God, Jacksonville is a dumpster fire. And it starts with the head coach. Actually, it might start with ownership and then, you know, really explode when it gets to the head coach. But, yeah, Tennessee in this one on the road. Yeah, there's nothing much more to say.
Can the league take over the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, like they did with the Clippers years ago? We just, like, take over the team and then find a new
one. Well, the NHL's doing that with the Coyotes. You might as well.
Exactly.
Might as well just do it. Can't get much worse. So
they're partners, right? All these NFL teams, the owners are partners. They probably look at Shad Khan and go, this guy's not all there. And then look at Urban Meyer. I root against him at every turn. I think he's a scoundrel. And, yeah, I mean, obviously – Tennessee coming off that overtime loss to the Jets, they should be fired up for this.
Yeah, I would hope so. If they lose this game, then heads might need to start spinning there. New England at Houston, obviously, you know, we can sit there and argue about how good the Patriots really are. I think they're much better than their 1-3 record. I still think that they have plenty of room to grow. This is going to be a good game for them. Even on the road, I think they get right and finally, you know, end this little mini losing streak. So give me the Patriots in this one.
Yeah, I mean, Houston's offense can't move the football. We know what Belichick does against rookie quarterbacks. Davis Mills starting for Houston. And I think Mac Jones has a nice game. And again, I think they name the score.
Yeah. Next, the Raiders hosting the Chicago Bears. I think this is a pretty intriguing game. I think Vegas, you know, disappointing outcome last week. I think they come back and win at home in this one. Give me Vegas over Chicago because I do think, you know, I think Justin Fields going to have his moments where he looks really good, and I think he's going to struggle like a rookie. So, and I think in this situation, I think Vegas has enough firepower on offense that I think they're going to get it done. So give me Vegas.
I'm going to pick the Bears in an upset here. I think what happened to the Raiders on Monday night with, you know, Joey Bosa talking about how we hit Derek Carr and he went into the fetal position. I think that that has a chance of lingering for a bit, especially when you got Khalil Mack coming to town.
Yeah.
I like the Bears in this game. I love Justin Fields. Of the rookie quarterbacks, he's the guy I wish the Patriots had drafted. So I'm going to pick the Bears to pull off an upset in Vegas.
Next, we have the Browns heading to the Chargers. And look, I mean, we talked a little bit about the Browns. They may have an issue, you know, at the quarterback position. I mean, it looks like Baker Mayfield has either plateaued or regressed a little bit. Now, he is dealing with an injury. You know, that's not an easy thing to deal with. But, you know, again, if we're going to sit there and question Russell Wilson about having the potential to be the guy, well, certainly Baker Mayfield certainly deserves that credit because there may not be a more talented team in the NFL than the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they just have an absurd amount of talent on that roster. And for them to still kind of be middling and whatnot, it seems a little weird, and I don't think they get it right this week. I think the Chargers take care of business at home.
Yeah, they looked awful against Minnesota. I mean, they put 14 points against a really bad defense. And I'll take the better quarterback in this matchup, especially since Baker's not healthy. And just a message to quarterbacks, especially the star ones, don't tackle people. Like, that's how we heard his labrum tackling one of the Texans early in the season.
Yeah, do what Aaron Rodgers did. Do the fake out, you know?
Well, that was cool, though. He got the guy out. Although he did level a Bengal, I think, back in 2009. It was pretty cool the way – but don't do that. That does no help.
I always laugh at that. And then, of course, that – what was that, Brady lead blocking where no one wanted to hit him, and he just basically was running like with his back slumped over. It was funny. Anyways,
hey, my guy only likes to tackle because he doesn't like throwing pick sixes.
That's the only reason.
Rodgers is going to tackle someone. But I like the Chargers in this game, although I'm not sure if they'll be up to par coming off a Monday night victory, an emotional, like, you know, high profile victory. Sometimes teams bounce back, but can be the better quarterback and the healthier quarterback in the Chargers.
Next, we have Dallas hosting the Giants, also coming off their first win. The Giants, that yep. is. I like Dallas at home. You know, I just think they're a better team, and you know, their offense is pretty explosive. So give me Dallas.
I called for the Giants to beat New Orleans last week. They did. I'm calling for the Giants to beat the Cowboys on Sunday. They're coming together. Look out for the New York Football Giants, will probably lose this game 38-10, but I'm picking to win.
Arizona hosting San Francisco. Arizona, four straight games of 30-plus points to start the season. That is good for sixth best in NFL history. They are behind teams like the 2007 Patriots, who had 10. As crazy as that sounds, 10 straight games at 30-plus points. That's absurd.
Incredible.
Also, the 2011 Patriots had, I believe, 8 games of that. So they are a team. Also, you throw in the Broncos also had 8. And the Rams of 2018 had 5. So, you know, great start by Arizona. I think it continues against San Francisco, especially, you know, Trey Lance looks like he's getting his first NFL start. Give me Arizona at home in this one.
I'm going to take the other side. I think San Francisco after back-to-back tough losses. Their defense is still pretty darn good, and I think they'll be able to at least contain Arizona. I'll call for San Francisco to pull the slight upset and knock Arizona out of the unbeaten ranks.
And last but not least, Buffalo at Kansas City. I already talked about this earlier. Big rematch from the playoffs. I like Buffalo in this one. Not so much because I'm just trying to pick against Kansas City, but Kansas City and Buffalo have similar offensive output in terms of points per game and everything like that. So that's not crazy. But the defense, I mean, you talk about two different ends of the spectrum. Buffalo is one of the best, if not the best, defensive team in the league, and Kansas City is not. And I still don't think that this Kansas City offense has really reached their potential yet, and I don't think that they do in this game. I think Buffalo gets over that hump, like I alluded to earlier, and wins this game on the road.
Don't go too crazy about Buffalo's defense. They shut out the Dolphins and the Texans. They also face Ben Roethlisberger, who looks like he's throwing a wet football. And Washington actually put a bunch of points on the board against them. So I don't think their defense is quite as good as the numbers look like. And I don't think Kansas City's defense is very good, but they did face at least good offenses, you know, in Cleveland and Baltimore and the Chargers. But I'm going to pick Buffalo in this game. I mean, it's a big revenge game. They lost to them twice last year. They're playing better than Kansas City right now. This is a huge game for Buffalo, right? Because this is like, if they can beat the two-time defending AFC champion Chiefs on the road, it makes them probably the favorite to win the AFC. So this is a big statement game for Buffalo. I still worry about Josh Allen with 80,000 screaming Chiefs fans. He gets so amped up in a different vein than Brady, who gets laser focused off of that. This guy sometimes, I think, gets so amped up, he's like a little kid with too much, you know, cereal. But I'm going to pick Buffalo in this because they do have a better defense.
And that will do it, folks. We just picked all the games, and we were all right.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. Doesn't matter what the outcome is. We're just right. Thank you, everyone.
A tie is a tie.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We're going to say goodbye for the week. Be sure to tune in on Sunday morning at Full Press NFL on Twitter for our FPC NFL Sunday show, kickoff show, where we will talk more about these games. And, of course, you will hear also my picks again and other folks' picks as well. But until then, tune in Monday when we are back live here on FPC Radio Live. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you then.